Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members. And get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. So go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter, patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and we'll bring you joy. This is, as expected, part two of the big interview with Tony Curry, and we did indeed record in the away dressing room at Bramall Lane, home of the Blades, Sheffield United, the club who named Mr. Tony Curry, TC, to those who love him, their greatest ever footballer, and boy, that's by a distance. In this particular part of the chat, Tony and I spoke for a little while about the Blades of season 2019-20, and of the pull this place has had on the life of a London boy who arrived age 18, and who came back for good at the end of a career that left him physically busted. And boy, you want to see the tackles the thugs put in on him throughout his life. But he came back to Sheffield United at the end of a career that made him not just a favourite, but a hero too, to fans of Sheffield United and Leeds and QPR. This is the big interview with Tony Curry. Thanks for listening to part two. This was a beautiful club for you. I mean, it still is. We'll come back to the modern day. Have you any idea why, from all your clubs and the two big cities in your life, which is London and Sheffield, why has this city, this club, got in your blood so, so much?
Yeah, I have hung around a while. 41 years now. I mean, my 41st year at Sheffield United. Well, I had 8.5 years, great 8.5 years here. We nearly won the league in 74-5. We were 4 points off of winning the league. Unbelievable. And the next season we were down by Christmas, same team. Don't ask me why. 4 points from winning the title the year before. 4 points we had by December the 31st. The old 2-point system.
Cool, must have been a big summer.
We got off to a bad start. So I had a great, I'd been here 5 years and Paddy Creran rings me up.
Was it, Paddy? I didn't know that.
And then Tommy Dock, all through the summer of 73, Bobby's finishing. I was captain of Sheffield United in Bobby's last game at Old Trafford. I've got a lovely picture of it. April the 23rd, we won 2-1, 73. So all the summer of 73, come on, come to my club.
They want you to cross from Yorkshire to Lancashire, to go from White Rose to Red Rose, to go to Manchester United.
To replace an old git like Bobby Charlton.
It's not bad.
Probably the great one. Well, one of the greatest players ever in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a big thing. I didn't do it. I should have done it. Why didn't I do it? I'll go back to how I first started this conversation. I didn't like change. I wasn't a confident man off the field. Only on it. Extrovert, introvert. Man United? Biffy and Eck.
Two persuasive guys as well.
I know.
Paddy. When they want something, they're both quite loquacious, they're both quite firm about what they want.
Yeah.
I imagine it must have been hard saying no.
Yes, well, it was. I mean, I probably was saying, yes, I'll sort it out. You know, first of all, I'm frightened to death because they're tapping me up.
Yeah.
And it weren't allowed, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want to be in trouble. You know, perhaps I should have gone, but, had I have gone, none of this would have happened, probably. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, I did I did end up 3 years before. I'd signed my life away at Sheffield United. I'd signed, up until I was 30, I signed a six-year contract and a one-year option in 73 instead of going to Man United. And there was no agents. I didn't get any rise. There was nothing in the contract that I was going to get a rise every year or anything like that. And then we went down in 75-6. And I had a verbal agreement with the chairman, Dick Ragg. He agreed that if we went down, I could go. And that's why I went to Leeds. And then I go to QPR, so that's 7 years. So I'm away from Sheffield for 7-8 years. And then I come back in 86 for a testimonial that they were giving me, because I was back home with my mum. I was divorced and feeling sorry for myself. 1983, my career ends, professional career at QPR, and missed out on them. They got promotion that year. I only played the one game, never got a medal from winning the championship. And I'd gone by the time they played in the...
Back in the Premier.
Back in the first division, it still was then. But so I missed out on that. But, you know, so I come back to Sheffield and I stayed. And I got this football in the community job in 88. And I've been working for Sheffield United ever since. 20 years as a community officer and 11 years now as ambassador. 31 years.
There's two things I still want to know. It's why?
Why?
I mean, the city, the air, the people, the walks, the club, the passion, the fact that you're loved. I don't know, but I just find it interesting.
It is.
Because we all make choices in our life. And for you, that's the other part, it's been a richly satisfying choice. You've done something that you love. You've done a worthwhile thing for the remainder of your adult life. Not every footballer, no matter how talented you are, gets that. But you've had that.
Mm.
So overall, you've made a good choice. But one, have you... any inkling about why? Or is it just fluke, life happens? And don't you feel that it's been richly rewarding?
Yeah, I've made decisions that perhaps, looking back, everybody does, you know, should I have done that, should I have done that? But this lot up here, these Yorkshire people, of which a lot of them think I am Yorkshire because I've been up here that long with a blooming accent like this. No, they've been so great to me, you know, not. I mean, in my playing days, first of all. And I signed a seven-year contract here because I was happy. I loved it. I loved the life. I loved the people that were great, and they still are. And they've took me to their arts. They've voted me the greatest player. I've got a stand named after me. I've got a room named after me over the other side. I've had lifetime achievements this last couple of years. It's just been phenomenal. I'm just waiting for my knighthood. Well, the freedom of the city, anyway.
we'll get on with sorting it out. We'll get on with sorting it out. I'd like to go to Leeds now, if you don't mind. I'd like to go to Elland Road. I'd like to talk. I'd like to understand the difficulty about moving within Yorkshire. Leeds has always been a bit of a Marmite club. There's a lot of people absolutely hate them.
Yeah.
And those who love them with a fierce passion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to cheat a little bit because I'm Aberdeen. And Bumper Graham played, he was a Glaswegian, Arthur Graham, but Bumper played for us when the Cup in 1970.
Yeah.
Was one of my early heroes because he would drift across the pitch. He was fierce. He'd like to knock players over. He'd go by them. A wee hero of mine. He goes to Leeds. I think people forget that he was very successful at Leeds. But he went in a side... it was still pretty full of character. Another genius of football who got played with injuries like you is Eddie Gray.
Mm.
Well, I don't know what you think of either of them. I don't know if you think I'm exaggerating, but you went in a really interesting Leeds side. Draw the picture of the people, Elland Road, I don't know.
Obviously, I went there to replace Johnny, who'd gone to West Brom, I think, and Jack had already retired and started managing, so they were the only two from the great squad of 65 to 75 that weren't there. All the others were still there. Pete Lorimer thought he was just a hard shot. What a player. What a skillful player. Just to see him in training, nutmegging people for fun. And he was just... it was a pleasure to play with him. Another sort of telepathy with him, you know, as great players have. You mentioned Arthur Graham. Arthur Graham... almost got in my 1-11 side. Absolute wizard. Right foot, left,
yes!
Punch in the area. Right foot, left foot. Arthur was absolutely... he was a pleasure to play with. He was a pleasure to go out and have a drink with. Me, him and Ray Ankin.
That's been said.
We used to go out on a Saturday night after the match and we'd go to the Bingley Arms at blooming Bardsey on the way home to Wetherby, where we all lived. Arthur was just a joy to play with. He was just a fantastic player. He ended up at Man U, didn't he?
But scored big goals, came in off the wing. I think he deserved more recognition and success while he was down here.
And the same with Eddie, you know, but for, I think it was his thigh, he had this thigh injury all the time, bugging him, didn't he? But he was another wizard.
Could dance past players, couldn't
he? The skill was phenomenal. You've seen that Burnley goal he got from the corner flag and beat three or four men and put it in. And it was just his injuries, really, that. And he was a winner. The times he's talked to me about, you should have been a better player. Well, I tried to be a better player, but we can't all play for the teams that are winning the blooming cups all the
time.
What's
his point to you? What's Eddie trying to make a point to you about?
That I could have done better. Every time we see each other, he's always saying, you should have been the top player, you know. But that's Eddie. I mean, he's very emotional, very, very passionate about the game. I think it's a backhanded compliment. It's a compliment to me that, you know, because I think the Leeds players before I got there didn't realise, they thought I was just a showman and a show-off, because that was my stage here at Sheffield United. But when I got there, they realised that I wasn't
proper footballer.
That I was I was one of them. I wanted to be a winner. They recognised that, you know.
You had what? How many games with Jockstein? A couple? One?
How many days was he there? No, same as Clough, 44?
44.
I think Jockstein used, I mean, he did. He'd already got the job in his pocket for Scotland. And I was so disappointed because he loved me as a player. We got on so well. And he just used him as a stepping stone, just for a little job in the meantime. 44 days.
It's not great, is it?
It's not fair.
Was there a state of shock when it happened?
I think so, yeah, if I remember rightly, yeah.
I'm going to cheat now, because we're on the right time of your career.
Can I just get back to that Leeds team that we played?
Yeah.
Jimmy Armfield did a fantastic job. He had to come in, and all that great squad was getting old and old and older. I had a year with Alan Clark playing before he went.
Sniffle.
I only played four games with Billy, which was a shame. Lovely man.
Because you'd been up against him for the majority of the time at Sheffield United.
Yeah. Oh, we had some right battles. It was great. You know, Norman Hunter, brilliant defender. We never mentioned him in the Ardmen, did we? Blimey. You know, Paul Madeley could play anywhere and did.
Fantastic. Often full-back?
Yeah, full-back, centre-back.
Centre-back, yeah.
Centre-forward, he's played. He could have played anywhere, Paul. He was just a thoroughbred.
Trevor
Paul
Cherry.
Paul Reaney, who could mark Bestie out of a game. You know, that was his asset. Wasn't great on the ball, but a great tackler and a man-to-man marker. Brilliant. The two greys, as I've said. And Jimmy brought Brian Flynn in. He brought Paul Art in. He brought Arthur in, Ray Ankin in, who's a great mate of mine, one of my greatest mates, who could have played for England if he had a bad knee.
You'd have played briefly with Joe Jordan before he left.
Yeah, briefly. I was very disappointed with Joe and Gordon. Had we have kept them at the time I was at Leeds, I think we could have gone on to do something, but Man U poached them and, well, got them and signed them on.
But there's the rub, isn't it? Because that's what Eddie's saying to you when he talks about you. He's undoubtedly he's saying, if you'd shown us less loyalty or less loyalty to United and gone to Manchester United or gone to Liverpool at the right time, that's really what he's saying. All you needed was an elite team around you to be as big an achiever as your talent could have made you.
Yeah. I've always said one man can't make a team, but a team can make one player better.
Imagine you'd been at the heart of, say, Dave Sexton's Manchester United, or at the heart of Bob Paisley's Liverpool. I'm saying that because that's what I came in here thinking. That's what I saw when I watched you. You know, I thought I was watching an extraordinary footballer, one that I haven't seen many like you. Spain, maybe. Probably never in your wildest dream did you think about playing in Spain or whatever. But there are players like you in my lifetime in Spain, where there's space around them because they see things quickly. They pull other teams into doing what they want, and the release of the ball is just natural, and everybody benefits from them. And you'd have loved it there. You'd have loved it there.
Well, my biggest saying before everybody went out to a game was support the man on the ball, because that's the biggest thing, and it's the biggest crime if you don't, apart from the furthest man being offside. That really bugs me. That really bugs me. If I was a manager, that man wouldn't play for anybody again. it was a bit of a selfish comment because I was normally the man on the ball. But, you need support.
Which means passing options.
Yeah, of course it does. If you've got, I mean, all the great teams have got 5 or 6, 7 options. This team we got here at Sheffield United now, they've got them options. In ordinary teams, you've only got one option or you haven't got any options. You need a bit of shouting, you know, a bit of information if you need it. Most players do need the information, man on, things like that.
But also there are players, implicit in your comment, there are players who pretend to want the ball but they hide.
Oh, yeah, and you can't, I can see players hiding. It's easy for us.
Hi, I'm over here, it's honestly, really, oh God, there's somebody.
They've got this ability of putting a man between them and the ball, and you can't kid an ex-pro.
No, but not every fan sees it.
Oh no, but they are more.
Why didn't you give the ball?
To be fair, they're more educated now than they ever have been because of all what's on the telly. You know, the pundits and the.
So it's improved our understanding of the game.
Oh yeah, probably too much.
We probably all think we're professors. Yeah, to be fair.
Well, I think they always have done.
That's
that.
Why we come to a classroom like this as often as we can to learn from the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, we haven't left Leeds behind because we've got sponsors that keep us going. Bet365 keep us going. And our sponsors want to know, and it's a cheat because we've already mentioned it. Tony, what was your greatest goal?
There have been a few, but the Leeds goal, 78-9 at Ivory, first game of the season. I think, was Jock in charge? He was in the stand. I know Ron Greenwood was in the stand.
Yeah, the managers are Terry Neal and Jock Steen.
Yeah.
Terry Neal, who'd managed Northern Ireland when you first played for England.
Yeah, and he scored the blooming goal.
He did score the blooming goal, yes. Chippy Brady opens things up with a penalty for Arsenal.
2 goals for him, yeah.
And then your moment comes.
Yeah. No, I won the ball in midfield, give it to Eddie Gray, and then did a 50-yard overlap. And, you know, there weren't a lot in the box. I think John Orley might have been in the box. But I just decided to hit it, and I just wrapped my right foot around it. Probably 6 yards, 5 or 6 yards from the byline and the corner flag, and it just an old Pat just put his hand up like that, and then sort only half, he never even went over his head. He just thought, oh, that's, I'm not going to get that, and it just bent in right past him.
So we're at Highbury, the sun is streaming down.
North Bank.
Everybody at North Bank, they're all there giving it.
Yeah,
we're going to give it to Great. Leeds, and you can't see the goal. You know, you're flat. You talked about...
Almost.
It's flat.
5 or 6 yards, perhaps.
And you could have... If you'd reached back, you're going at such a speed, you'd have broken your hand. But if you'd reached back, you could have touched the corner flag as you overlap.
Yeah.
And as you come onto it... I'm not cheating. I didn't score it. You know, I wasn't even there. We've been watching that about 60 times over the last 2 days. And it's a Brazilian goal. Do you remember when we started to... Maybe you've been scoring these all your life. We started to watch Brazil more and more as television opened things up. So you'd see them in the 74 World Cup where they were an ugly side, 78. Mm. They were bending the ball in from everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're out on your right. And it comes off maybe a little toe
outside,
on the outside of your right foot. And it's like a scimitar. It's like a half moon. And goes in right over Pat's hand into his top right hand corner from no angle at all.
I'd probably level with a 6-yard box. not far from the, you know, so 6 yards out from the byline. I just decided to curl it in with me. Well, I hit it at goal, really. I mean, if I say I meant to put it in that top corner, you know, but it flew in, didn't it? But the same season, that's ITV. The same season, we're playing Southampton at home. The Bender wins goal of the season, and that's on ITV goal of the season, it wins.
So your goal at Southampton for Leeds gets goal of the season officially, and they ignore that, yeah, that goal.
I know. What's all that about?
Thank you. That's good enough
for me.
Should
have been first and second.
Was there any sort of cross Yorkshire? I mean, did you get a bit of grief? But
oh yeah, but I tell you what, I got some following as well from Sheffield United support. I've met so many people that have told me they started going to Leeds because I'd gone
to watch
Leeds.
You.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. That's astonishing.
It really is, but that is God's honest.
God's honest now, because I've got several more questions, and I want to make sure that I'm not doing to you what Tommy Smith or Chopper Harris used to do to you. Are you surviving there? Because I've got no cortisone with me. It's a straight question.
Go on.
Who got you into Superstars? Why did you go in Superstar? Because that was a brilliant show.
It was.
And all the other athletes of, say, Olympic discipline or judo, they live to stick it to the footballers.
Yeah.
But, and compare Stan, like Stan Bowles, who you played with at QPR, was a fantastic footballer.
Yeah.
Stan didn't fare.
He got in me 1-11.
Bloody right. But he didn't fare too well on Super. For those who don't remember Superstars, tell them what it was and how did you, who wangled you into it?
So in the middle of the 70s anyway, can't remember who wangled in. Obviously we didn't have an agent and that, but it was in the summer, which didn't help because it was our close season, so we weren't really, footballers are not fit in the, you know, they're not as fit. I mean, you've got athletes, you've got, I'll tell you who was in it, you probably know, David Wilkie the swimmer, Trevor Brooking. What's his name? Dave Boy Green, the boxer. He ended up winning it.
Dave
God
Boy
knows
Green
how.
Could fight. He was East End of London.
Yeah.
Wilkie had won the gold medal in 76 for...
Yeah.
But it's a big range of different sporting disciplines,
oh,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and it's over 2 days. This one was at Harlow in Essex. You can opt out of a couple, right? So I did. I didn't do the weights and the... something else, but I did the swimming. I didn't want to do the swimming. I weren't comfortable wearing those short bloody things. They give us all the kit, and I thought, oh no. And I'm not the. Why I went for swimming? Because I can swim. There's no problem with it. But it's so boring, and I you know, you don't get anywhere. Anyway, and there's no ball involved. So. So anyway, I went in that. I probably finished 7th out of 8 or 6th out of 7. I don't know. And but I came second in the archery shooting, and I came second in the cycling. And so I came because I can do anything. Normally, footballers can play any games. You know, I had an average that in the last one, the whatever it was, 1600 meters to 18, whatever it was, 2 laps, steeplechase. I've only got to get over that hurdle and finish second. And I've hit the bloody hurdle as I went to hurdle it. And I went in the drink and I ended up 4th or 5th in the end, I think, in that race. But had I come 1st or 2nd in that, I'd have won it outright. But I didn't. But there's another... If we finish with that, because I've got another story. I was in the super teams as well in the early 80s. And it was in Bath. Over a couple of days, and we've got the footballers v the rugby players, rugby union v the athletes. Well, the athletes are in tune all season, aren't they? I mean, they've won everything, bar we won the basketball because it was a team event. So we were, you know, we were. Glenn Hoddle was great. It was mainly the Spurs team, half the Spurs team that I'd played against in the cup final, Falco and people. The lovely bloke Falco and Hoddle, and the Chelsea keeper Barretta. Barotta?
Peter Bonetti?
No, Barotta.
Barotta? Don't Barotta. Know him at all.
It might have been Peter Barotta.
Okay.
Actually, but not Bonetti. No, I knew the cat.
Cat.
Scored against the cat a couple of times at Chelsea.
I'm glad I mentioned him.
Oh,
he
yeah.
ended up a postie in
yeah,
Scotland.
He did. Yeah. So I've put myself... We've had a meeting. I've put myself down for the cycling and the canoeing. Because I could canoe and all, you know. Anyway, who do I get drawn up against? Come on, have a guess, quick. Athlete.
Oh,
well, who was the top athlete in the world?
Daley Thompson.
Bloody right.
Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
That's a fix. That's a fix.
He's beat me by, you know, it was about a 300-yard cycle straight race, and he's beat me by 150 yards in that. And then he's giving it that.
I was going to say, he wouldn't have rubbed it in at all. He'd have been quiet about it, was he?
Well, I knew Daley quite a bit. When I went to Toronto, he was there in the stadium, in our stadium, and I was, what are you doing here? He was training. I was playing, I'd signed for Toronto after QPR.
Can you imagine what anybody who didn't see superstars growing up thinks about it now? The clubs, the insurance. Yeah. You're doing things that, I mean, they won't let players play Monopoly now in case they sprain their finger. Do you know what I mean? And do you remember there was the big one where Keegan was sick because he was so competitive. I think Kevin had to win a cycling to it, and he comes off and he slides on the gravel.
He was pedalling too fast. He was trying to push them pedals so fast that's what happened to him, I think. And
but can you imagine football clubs today?
I remember that.
Or the insurers?
Yeah.
Two more sections, the entertainers. Do you subscribe to this theory? And I put Aussie, I put Hudson, McKenzie, Barnes, you as the leader of the pack, Worthington. I know that there were other players.
Rodney.
But Rod Marsh, who you played with for England as well. So it's not like no manager ever trusted one or two of the entertainers in a team. They did. But the general feeling was that as a breed, you were underappreciated. Not by the media, not by the fans, but by maybe overly conservative managers. Managers who were scared. Managers who were already going for functional footballers then. Mm. Is that a false perception so many years later? Or was that what you felt about you and those footballers, those other guys at the same time?
I don't know. It was mainly after the... when your career's ended and you look back. But, I mean, them players you mentioned, Revy, when he came to be England manager, he got the six of us after a get... There weren't a match, it was a get-together. Mm. And there was me, Charlie George, Alan Hudson, Frank Worthington, Dan and Rodney. Is that, did I include myself?
Yeah.
No, Stan weren't there. It was Rodney and me. And there's six of us in a crescent. And he said to us after, he said, I'm sorry you lot, you don't figure in my plans. What can you say to that? We just all walked away and looked at each other and thought that was it. But I got in most of Revy's squads when I was fit. But he only played me the once in the 3 years he was, you know. I mean, I felt sorry for those others, like Rodney got eight, Worthy got eight. What players they were. Charlie got one, Addy got one. I mean, I got 17, and I thought I was not unlucky. I thought I'd been...
Badly done by. Yeah.
I mean, Revy didn't like me. I don't know what he thought I was doing. When we had the get-togethers, not the get-togethers, when there was matches, I'd go and see me wife at the time... and the kids, because they'd be in London at one of the mothers, my mother's or her mother's, and I'd just spend the evening there. Perhaps he thought I was going out on the town or something. I don't know. I really don't know. They used to like the carpet bowls and the bloody bingo. I used to want to go to my room, watch telly. I don't want to play bloody bingo and bowls. It wasn't compulsory. So, you know, well, I mean, I don't know why else he would leave us players out, you know.
It seems ludicrous now.
Oh, Alan Hudson, how he could only, you know, that game against Germany, when they win 3-1, he took the pee out of blooming Germany that night, and that was the only cap he ever got, wasn't it? It's criminal.
If you put that group together now and you could have them aged 28 in this market, the combined cost would be 700 or 800 million.
Yeah, easy.
And each of you had flair and talent and vision. Okay, it was about points, but you excited the crowd. Any manager not trying to pick all of you, never mind saying all of you thanks and goodbye, you don't feature. I always thought Revy was an odd man, and his that team that he built was not ugly, but it was hard.
Oh, the team he had at Leeds was, for me, and going back, I hated Leeds as a Sheffield United player. Everybody did, as you said. Everybody hated Leeds because they were successful. They were the best footballing side. I thought they were much better than Liverpool. Not much better, but I thought they were the better. I thought they were the greatest club side in the world at that time, between 65, 75. Always came runners-up and missed out on a few things, and Liverpool won more, but I always thought Leeds was a better team. And what Revy did was fantastic, and they will not, none of them players will ever have a go at Revy, because he was their father figure, and quite rightly so. But we've all, you know, we've all got our personal problems, and Revy, I was a problem to Revy, or vice versa. He did not, he just did not like me or the others. Hence the reason he didn't pick me.
And you knew that, you could sense that his nose was at a joint with you.
Yeah. I mean, he picked Brian Talbot in midfield rather than pick me or Alan Hudson. Okay. Now, Brian Talbot, box to box.
Hard working, did well with Ipswich and Arsenal. In terms of use of the ball, first touch, yeah. Vision, inspiration, it's not the same thing.
All right, in that case, we've got to say to you, from Bet365, one last question. Who's the best midfielder you ever played against?
Well, I've played against Zico and Rivellino.
For England against Brazil?
78. It was Rivellino was on his way out and yeah. Zico was just on his way in.
Yeah.
We drew 1-1, Keegan scored. And I got all the headlines. Curry takes the Brazilians on at their own game. Loved it. And that was Greenwood's era, so I got 10 caps under Ron. Yeah, I mean, them two. But, I mean, talking about Englishmen, Alan Hudson, you know, Huddy, Jerry Francis, Trevor Brooking. And we've talked about all the hard men who were the harder ones with the lesser skills than the ones we mentioned, which they wouldn't mind me saying, but great players, all of them.
Then we can't...
Butch Wilkins.
Butch could play. Dearly departed. Butch could really play.
Yeah.
Chris Wilder, Sheffield United. Can you encapsulate what a special, interesting man he is? And do you know what it is that's made this club that you love, that you're a part of, play such interesting, different, thrilling football and defied the expectations? Just tell us about Chris, the guy.
Well, you say about expectations. My expectations this year was to be in the top 10. I thought we were good enough to do that. It's a different system to most of them play. Anybody can... They've got the freedom to overlap. They know what they're doing. There's 7-8 options, as I've talked about. It's just... And he's done that. He's done that over the 3.5 years. I mean, I've been here 41 years and the last 31 years in a row, and I've not seen anything like it to make me happy. I'm very critical. We've had to endure, and that's we, the Sheffield United public and supporters, we have suffered badly over the years, but this has just been a joy to watch. And it's all down to Chris Wilder getting a bunch of lads together and playing this system, and they've took to it, and it's just bloody great to watch. It's just great. I go to all the home and away games because I want to. I want to see him play. I love it. It's a joy to watch him play. And, you know, there's a few games a few teams have come and not worked it out, but you know, they've stopped us doing what, you know, which they're supposed to do. In the main, it's great to watch, and the man, he's got a squad of players that respect him. He's got control of them. They can't do anything untoward, or else they get the wrath of Chris Wilder. And I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Chris Wilder, don't worry about that. But with him and Alan Neil, you know, they seem to sort things out. Whenever there's a problem, it gets fixed. Substitutions, 9 times out of 10 work. It's just... Is he Irish? I don't know. Is he luck of the Irish? He's just phenomenal.
Isn't this what football's supposed to be like?
Yeah. Yeah.
To make you describe it like that, to lift you, to make you want to go after 41 years, say, I have to be at every game. That's what football's supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Curry, I'm going to dare a TC. This has been everything that I expected it to be. You've made me remember things that fleeting images from however many years ago, because we're not that dissimilar in ages. And it's been a joy. It's been fantastic. You explain your skills just as well as you played. We're at a time now where I'm not supposed to reach out and shake your hand, so I'm just going to do this.
I should salute you and blow you a kiss. Yeah.
Legend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true.
Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.